Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Tony Yayai. You're in tune to the Street News Network, where we bring it to you 100% real. That's right. We bring it to you real from the streets, what it's all about. We're going to be hitting you hard. We're the day after the so-called election. We're going to tell you what's going on and plus some other stuff in the street. So stay right where you are. Put your helmet on. It is definitely real in these streets, ladies and gentlemen. It is definitely real in these streets. So we're the day after the supposed election. So the day is the 4th of November. And we went all through the night. Here we are now, late in the evening. Well, we're in the early evening on the East Coast time. We're pretty much after 6 o'clock, and we're still trying to find out who is the winner of the presidential campaign. It's going back and forth a little bit, and we're looking. Now, the resident has already declared that should he not win, his lawyers are ready to file lawsuits in each of the states to contest the counting. He wants to have a recount of every state up to the point of where it would give him 270 electoral candidates. Okay. And it's got to take away from the person, Joe Biden, who will have won. Should that have been the case? Should that be the case that Joe Biden wins? The resident insists on having a recount on a state-by-state basis based on which of these states is going to bring him, or which number of these states is going to bring him to the 270 and push Joe Biden away from the 270. Now, here's a big question here. Why? Why really, really go through all of this? Why would you really go through all of this? If you guys ever see the movie Brewster's Million, where Richard Pryor is talking about the two guys from New York who are running for some political position. And he says to them, now go back and look at the movie, but he says in the movie that his character, Monty Brewster, is Richard Pryor's character. And he says, why would these two guys spend millions of dollars for a position that only pays a few hundred thousand dollars a year, unless they intend to steal the money back? Well, so let's go with the resident. Now, a lot of lies, a lot of stories, I'm going to say stories because, you know, I don't know, but a lot of stories have gone out saying that Joe Biden did this and Joe Biden is a crooked person. And, you know, I heard a gentleman this morning say that Joe Biden was crooked. And I asked him, what's your basis on that? What proof do you have on that? And he cited what the resident said. And I said, so basically you are quoting, or you are relying on, a known pathological liar as your sole resource for his opponent? Well, you know, that tells me something about you that I already know about the person who you seem to be buddy-buddy with, or you be a strong supporter of. You back the liar. You back the self-admitted pathological liar as he accuses his opponent of doing dirty work. That's your only proof. So I said, well, everything that comes out of your mouth now is suspect. So go back and sit in your corner, leave us all alone. Go back to the kiddie table where the kids belong, because that's what you were listening to, that big kid bully. So you go back and listen to him. Okay. So I don't know what Biden has done. I can tell you this, though. His son, Hunter Biden, is no more a candidate in this race than either of the resident's children are candidates in this race. And you notice everybody's keeping their name out of it. Nobody's talking about how they went ahead and poached endangered rhinos in Africa because they wanted to get the horns. And here's the worst thing about poachers is poachers will go in to get those horns, to get that ivory, and they'll just leave the animal there. They'll just hack it off with a saw. And some people do it as brutal as they possibly can. And that's not to say that the residence boys didn't do that, but they went on big game hunting just so they could do this and say, this is what I did while my daddy was the resident of the United States. That's pretty sad. That is pretty sad. However, we're counting the votes. We're trying to get to the magic number of 270. The first one gets there is the one who gets accused of cheating when they got there. Now, it has already been made public that we have had infiltration into our electoral system by people from China, people from Russia, as usual, and people from, you know, somewhere in the Middle East. Our national security folks, our FBI folks, our CIA folks have already told us this. They told us this long before we got to November 3rd. And yet the resident disregarded all of that information because it was to his benefit. So take it with a grain of salt. Do what you do. Here's one of the things I found really fascinating, though. In the great state of Texas, and thank God it's now over with, but in the great state of Texas, there was a drive-through balloting thing, voting, that was allowed. Now, this is late news, so you heard about it, but listen to my perspective, okay? Back in June when they proposed this in Harris County, a group of folks said, well, let's do this for this particular county to make sure that people can vote safely and, you know, feel good about casting their vote, and it'd be nice, neat, and legal, and they'd bring the ID card. But we're going to put up a huge tent. They can drive through, like going to, you know, fast food restaurant, go to the drive through. Somebody's going to meet them there. One of the pollsters people are going to meet them there. They're going to check their ID card to make sure it's valid, make sure it is the person. That picture is that person. Then they're going to give them a ballot where they sit there in the car. They can roll the window if they feel like it and fill out the ballot and then put it in the machine. Okay. Or put it in, you know, in the box, in the locked box. Okay. So that it can't be tampered with. So this was the plan. So they said, okay, this is a good idea. We could do this. So before we do this, though, they decided in July of this year, 2020, they decided let's test drive this to make sure it'll go off without a hitch. So they got the tent. They put everything together. They had some people come through and, you know, try it out. And it worked. No problem. So the election people in Harris said, all right, it works. We give you authorization to do it. Okay. The state legislator in the great state of Texas didn't oppose it. They were okay with it. They go like, well, Harris County, if that's what y'all want to do, knock yourself out. Have fun. Do it. Do you. You do you. Okay. So lo and behold, after the votes had been cast, about 127,000 of them had been cast. And it was like a day or two before early voting would end in Harris County, a group of Republicans came in and decided that 127 people in a predominantly Democratic district cast these votes and we need to throw them out simply because of the fact that, here's the underlining, simply because they are primarily predominantly Democrat. We need to throw them out because we don't want that to give the resident an unfair disadvantage with allowing 127,000 potential Democrats voting against him. Don't want to take the chance of flipping the great state of Texas from red to blue. Okay. So they launched the campaign and they threw everything up against the wall that they could possibly throw up against the wall, including holding this out to make sure that it got to a federal judge who happened to be a staunch Republican, a staunch voter suppressive judge. And they knew we were going to win. So the Democrats, who the judge didn't even give a chance to, you know, prepare closing arguments, they did this on a Wednesday night. The judge says, we're going to hear this on next Monday. Okay. So this past Monday on the 2nd of November is when this case went before this judge. And the GOP, they were like, yeah, we in now because we got it in front of the right judge. We making sure that he hears it. He's going to throw it out. Now, you know that the Democrats are going to contest this. They're going to appeal the decision made by this judge. Should he say, yep, throw out that 127,000. They were going to appeal it to the Fifth Circuit. Well, guess what? The Fifth Circuit is comprised of judges appointed by the resident. So, again, we're dealing with Republican-leaning, anti-Democratic vote people. They are vote busters, Democratic vote busters. That's what this set of judges were set up for. And so either way, the GOP figured they were winning. They figured, well, we can't get you here, we'll get you there. So in case the federal judge decided to side with the voters and say, let it stand, then the GOP were going to appeal it to the Fifth Circuit and say, well, we'll get you there. We're going to throw these out no matter what. Well, lo and behold, Monday morning on the 2nd of November, the federal judge heard it and the federal judge upheld it and said, no, these votes are valid and we're going to let them stand. So what do you think? What do you think the Republicans were thinking? Yep, that's exactly what they were thinking. So, but they had in their own little fantasy bucket, let's appeal this to the Fifth Circuit. We didn't get you there. We'll get you here. So, on Monday night, the Fifth Circuit heard it, and the Fifth Circuit says, you know what? I tell you what. To my fellow GOPers, holler if you hear me. Holler if you hear me. Holler if you hear me. Here's the verdict to the GOP. The Fifth Circuit Court sided with the judge earlier that day and said, nope, this 127 ballots would be held valid. So it just did not help them. And then the state Supreme Court, they, you know, shot it over to the state Supreme Court. The state Supreme Court said, listen, tell you what, like, you know, I know what you're going through. I feel your pain. I know what's going on. However, this is what we're going to do regarding this whole thing, because, you know, we think that it's crazy that they wanted to cast these votes doing drive by. What they thought is what, fast food? It's not a fast food thing here. This is not fast food. So they got no right doing this. However, this is what we're going to do. Celebrate with me. And here we go. The state Supreme Court says we're not even going to listen to this foolishness because it makes no sense. So the argument came back to the GOP and said, listen, where were you when this was being proposed back in June? Where were you then? Why weren't you speaking up then about this not being fair, right, and the proper thing to do? Where were you in July when they did the test, the dry run to see if it would really work before early voting started? Where were you then? They'll go like, well, we were at the picnic. We were at the cookout. We were celebrating with our family. Well, then apparently it wasn't that important for you. So 127 votes from Harris County have been added to the pot to be counted as valid votes. Yep, it works. So even GOP folks who think sincerely, who understand the validity of a sound vote that has been carefully planned, carefully laid out, no trickery, no bribing, no no hiding in the bushes, could not come back and say, no, yeah, we're going to throw those out. They couldn't. There was no reason to throw them out. So they stand. But this is the kind of thing that I'm telling you folks, that for future votes, what I want you to understand is this. If your vote, for those of you who just flat out refuse to vote, if your vote wasn't that important, as many of you think it isn't, if it's not that important, why are there so many people working so hard to keep you from doing it, to keep you from casting your vote, if it wasn't so important? If it wasn't important to you and it ain't important to them, they could care less. They're not going to try to stop you from voting. They're not going to encourage you to vote, but they're not going to stop you if you come to the polls and vote. They're going to go, whatever, you know, vote. I don't care. You know, it don't even matter to me. But if it does matter to them, if it does rain on their parade, if they want to make sure that their candidate win, they will do whatever they can to make sure you don't vote in opposition to them. And here's the sad thing that we have going on in this country, ladies and gentlemen, in terms of voting. There is the GOP. The GOP likes to say that they are the right party. They like to say that they are the so-called American Party. But the American Party is not the party that works so hard to stop other Americans from voting. And let's look at it this way, ladies and gentlemen. Let's look at it. And I want you to think about this for just a moment. Brace yourself. This one's going to hurt a little bit. I don't care which side you are. Democrat, Libertarian, Peace Party, Green Party, Republican. I don't care what your party is. Here's the thing. If your message is sound, if your message is inclusive of all Americans, for the good of all Americans, not just a few Americans, but for all Americans, if your message is solid, rock solid, made for all Americans, let the chips fall where they may. Okay? Let the chips fall where they may. Because listen, if the vote was left up to the United States citizens on the payroll protection plan, if they put a ballot out in every state, in every county, every suburb, if they put a vote out that says we would like for the citizens of each state to vote on whether they will get that Congress will give them $2,500 per person. And we're going by majority for each state. So based on the number of people in your state, we'll determine whether everybody in your state get it. Based on the majority rule. Okay? So while the majority of the folks in South Carolina may vote against it, which means nobody in South Carolina will get it, the majority of the folks in Georgia may vote for it, which means the folks in Georgia, everybody in Georgia would get it. Okay? If that was laid out as a part of our economic recovery, and everybody voted on that, that's for the good of everybody. Okay? It's for the good of everybody. It puts money in everybody's pocket so that we can go and spend. If we got money to spend, that means that we can support our local vendors, our shops, we can continue to buy goods and services, which keeps the economy flowing. Okay? So it's for the good of everybody. So if they put that vote out, how many of you would vote against it? Now, I know there's a couple of you who will vote against it no matter what. Because for, you know, legitimate reasons, and then there are those other reasons that I don't know. But legitimate reasons, like, you know, if you already got millions of dollars, you figure like, nah, I don't really need it. I don't need it. But if you don't need it, that's fine. But there are people in your neighborhood who do need it, and they count on your vote to help them. If your position as a politician is sound and you convey that to your party and your party gets behind that and it is sound for all Americans, because when you run for an office, come closer. Let me tell you this. Here's a little secret. Here's something that most people don't know, particularly politicians. If you run for office, you are running to represent all of the people in that area. If you're running for president, you're president of the United States. You're not president of some of the states. It's the United. That means all of them. if you're running for governor in your state. You're not running as governor of some of the cities. You're running for governor of all the cities in your state. Okay? You're running as governor for every person in your state. Your job is to represent every person in your state. You're running for president. Every person in this country who is a legal citizen. Okay? A lot of folks forget that. If your message is sound, let it fall where it does. Reasonable people will embrace it and go like, okay, regardless of what their party is, reasonable people will embrace it and say, okay, I'm with that. I can get with that. Quite frankly, I think we ought to do away with the party system because I think too many people are getting too drunk off the party system. But that's just me, and I'm okay with that just being me. But I truly believe we need to get rid of the Electoral College because the Electoral College does not accurately represent the will of the people. That is something we do need to get off the tree, is the Electoral College. We are now past the stage where we need that because we have a lot more intelligent people in this country who can make a sound decision based on sound information put in front of them. Now, I will be honest and let you know that there are some people who cannot make sound decisions when accurate information is put in front of them. But, you know, we're talking about people who are selfish and people who are not able to make sound decisions. Okay. So, but the vast majority of us can. And I think that our vote should be expressed based on the will of the people and not on the will of a few people who have been paid or who have been forced to vote one way or another by the prevailing party. That's just my 14 cents on that one. Okay. I just think that that's something that we need to concern ourselves with. All right. So the coronavirus is still with us no matter what. It's here. It seems like that's everything that we're talking about, that in the election. The virus is still here. The resident is still claiming that it doesn't exist anymore. He says it's gone, it's dead, and it's out of here. Well, you know, that's just one lie, one more lie that he's added to the bunch, and that's okay because, you know, that's who he is because that's who he is. So we don't have to listen to him. We don't have to believe him, but that's who he is. We know that he wants desperately to fire Anthony Fauci, but he just can't seem to bring himself to do it. But he wants to get rid of Anthony Fauci because Anthony is making him look bad. Anthony is stepping up and saying, hey, listen, I don't know what this guy is talking about, but, you know, he's wrong. He's flat out wrong. He has no expertise in this field. So he's wrong. He's flat out wrong. So there it is, you know, but the virus is still here. And since he has taken a back seat to it, the resident, then you can best believe that should he become selected by Russia to be the president of the United States again, you can best believe that he's going to move everything he can to make sure that as many of you get infected as possible, as many of you get infected as possible. That's what he's going to do because he's already done that by having his super spreader events. There've been at least 4,000 people nationwide who attended those super spreader events who have come down with COVID, who have contracted COVID as a result of having gone to one of those super spreader events. 4,000 people. And there have been 170 people who have died. Now, do you think the resident cares? Of course he doesn't. I mean, here's a dude that didn't care that his wife got it or his son, his youngest son, got it. If he doesn't care anything about them, as I've said before, you should best believe he could care less about you. Okay? But that's who he is. And it's time to return him back to private citizenship. You might wonder, why is this guy fighting so hard to remain president of the United States? Well, it's simple. The reason why is because by doing so, the statute of limitation will run out on the crimes that he is going to be charged with. And he wants that statute of limitation run out, so therefore he won't have to face criminal charges for the criminal acts that he has participated in, both federal and state. Now, this is the same guy who screams, lock Hillary up, lock everybody else up, and yet He's one of the biggest criminals out there who doesn't want to be locked up. Doesn't think anybody should lock him up. Well, if it's good for Hillary, in his opinion, it should be good for him. If he is found guilty of crimes, he should get locked up too. Now, yep, will it make a set of precedents that a resident of the United States got locked up after losing the election? Might. But, well, here's another thing it might do. It might make future presidents think about the criminal acts that they've engaged in prior and or during their term in office. May make them think, I might not want to get involved in that one. They didn't learn. The GOP didn't learn anything from Nixon. This guy, the resident right here that you have now that we're trying to get out, he didn't learn anything from Nixon. In fact, he thinks he's smarter than Nixon. In fact, he thinks he's the smartest kid on the block. Well, okay. You want to think that? Knock yourself out. That's on you. You think what you want to think, but, you know, just because you think that don't mean that it's true. Okay? Just to put that out there so that we got some, you know, some reality. But he doesn't want to face charges. And I can understand that. Who wants to go to prison? And the answer to that is the person who really wants to go to prison is the person who really wants to commit the crime. Now, you know, he's not going to say, well, I'm doing this so I can go to prison. But he knows if he gets caught that it increases the chances of him going to prison. So, you know, it's like, you know, it's, you know, the consequences of an action. So I say since he's committed the crimes, give him some time behind a couple bars so he can feel, you know, see what it's like. See what it's like. And then beg somebody to pardon him, which, you know, I'm hoping that they don't. But, you know, he might get pardoned for the federal crimes. But if Biden gets in, he can't pardon him for the state crimes. So, and I'm hoping that there is no payoff to say, well, you know, we give him, you know, community service or, you know, whatever nice stuff they've been giving to all these other clowns. But, you know, we'll see. If it comes to that, we'll see what it comes to. Okay. You are in tune, ladies and gentlemen, to the Street News Network. My name is Tony Yeya. We like having you here. You can reach us by email at the Street News, DASTREETNEWS at gmail.com. Send us your email. Let us know what you think about the show. If you have some topics that you'd like for us to talk about, send us those that information. We'd be more than happy to get that on the air and see if we can do some research. If you are a small business, if you're a small nonprofit, if you're a small nonprofit and you're interested in coming on the Street News, let us know what you do, who is your target audience that you provide your services for. Give us a, you know, reach out to us, send us some email, let us know who you are, name, contact person, telephone number, email address, a little, if you have a web page, put your web page in that so that we know how to reach you and look you up and, you know, do a little research on you, and we'll give you a call and find out who you want us to interview, you know, with your company. We'll be more than happy to try to get you on. We cannot guarantee that everybody will get on the show. And I want to tell you this up front. We don't pay anybody for interviews. We do not pay for interviews. So if you come on the show, you come on free. Also, if you come on the show, need you to understand everything that's taped on the show, because we do tape our shows, everything that's broadcasted or taped on our show becomes the property of the Street News Network. We do not give out our information. And we are held, just so you know, we are held indemnified, exempt from any legal proceedings based on because of something that you may have said. Okay. So answer questions at your own risk, respond at your own risk, and it'll be a good show. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for being a part of the show. My name is Tony Yeya, Street News Network. We bring it to you. We try not to hurt you, but sometimes it does happen. You can get like a head wound. We always ask you, please wear your helmet. But reach out to us. I already gave you my email address. It is thestreetnews@gmail.com. We'll catch you on the flip side, ladies and gentlemen. Have a good one, okay?